following audio is from Deering Christian Church. Join us Sunday mornings at 10:15 or check us out at DeeringChristian.org.
We are finishing 19 weeks, okay? And now I know Jamie's on vacation this week. And I'm so glad he's on vacation. And you know when you go on vacation and the car gets turned back towards home? And then if you're anything like me, you give that car all it's got, okay? The last little home stretch, like, we are getting there. We are not stopping at one more gas station. We're not buying one more drink. We are getting home right now. That's not the way that I want to approach what we're going to talk about today. But I know after 19 weeks, you may be sitting there, but today is 19 weeks, you may be sitting there thinking, come on. Couple of things. I was trying to think as we, like, the week to week that I have sat here and the conversations that Jamie and I have had about what we've been talking about, and also because I don't get to be in here all the time listening to the podcast and keeping myself up to date, these are some of the questions that kind of came to my mind. One is this. With what I'm doing with this series, one of these three things, have you ever actually known the qualifications that a Christian leader should have? And do you have a better idea of them now? That'd be the first question. As we've moved through this, have you ever really known the qualifications, the things that makes a person eligible, as far as Scripture says, to be a Christian leader? Have you ever known what they are? And has this series helped you understand them better? The second one is this. Have you grown personally and started to put some of this into practice in your own life to put yourself in a position to one day be a leader? I think there may be people right here. I think that some of us right here may have found ourselves in one of those two categories. But as I was listening and preparing, this third question came to mind. And maybe this is you. You have sat through some of these sermons and ask yourself, what do I even do with this information? What do I do with this leadership information? That's really maybe not where I'm at right now in life. Well, this is why we're working through this. And this is why this information is important. We're working on leadership right here at Deering. We feel like that is one of the most overlooked things in our family, in our community. And leadership is extremely important. And building leaders is extremely important. And challenging people to step up spiritually is vitally important. I heard a professor tell me one time, he said, I would rather be part of a church with 10 people because I would rather be a mile deep than a mile wide. Looking out at whatever you say successful is in any industry, we're not going to say, like, whoa, we want more, because more means we're doing better. Not always. Not in this sense. Not if we're missing the point. Not if we're really not growing. So in the weeks to come, we're going to kind of unveil a little bit more leadership stuff to you. But today, we have some work still yet to do. So here's the list. And I promise you, I squeeze these down a little more, okay? But it's important, I think, that we blow back through this list and take a look at where we've been when we've been talking about what it means to be qualified and what it means to be eligible as a leader. Even if we're looking through it from the lens of, you really haven't ever really known what Scripture says a leader looks like. Here's that list. Number one, above reproach, have a good reputation. The husband of one wife, morally pure. Temperate, balanced in words and actions. Prudent, wise and humble. Respectable, a good role model. Hospitable, unselfish and generous. Able to teach, communicates sensitively in a non-threatening and non-defensive manner. Not addicted to wine. Not addicted to substances. Number nine. Not self-willed, not self-centered and controlling. Number 10, not quick-tempered, empty of anger that becomes sinful. Number 11, not pugnacious, not abusive. Number 12, gentle, sensitive, loving, and kind. Number 13, peaceable, non-argumentative, and non-divisive. Number 14, free from the love of money, non-materialistic. Number 15, manages his own household well, a good husband and father, or wife and mother. 16, loving what is good, pursues godly activities. Number 17, just, wise, discerning, and non-prejudice. Number 18, devout, holy. Jamie talked about the Holy Spirit last week. Devout, holy, and devoted to God. And this week, we're going to close out with our 19th one. Now, some of the gist of what we've been looking at, I know many of you have kind of clued in that we're looking through the chapter outline of a book by Gene Getz called The Measure of a Man. I own two different copies of that. One is called The Measure of a Man, and one, his son Kenton rewrote his same material in a different format, and it's called The Measure of a Young Man. I actually prefer that better than The Measure of a Man, but it's very similar material. And so as you've kind of clued into that, also know that that whole book was inspired by Scripture, and each one of those points that we just looked at is on the list, both mentioned through Timothy and Titus, of this is what a leader, this is what an elder of a church, this is what a deacon in a church, and this is what somebody that would be eligible for one of those places in a church. This is what their life must consist of if they're going to be a servant leader. If they're going to be a servant leader. Today, we close all of it up, and this is our word for today. Disciplined. Disciplined. Titus 1:8. That was last week. 9. No? 8. So I might have put that wrong somewhere, Tim. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. Now, just to get us started, all right? My daughter got a Ken doll for Christmas. I didn't even realize that these were still being manufactured, but there's one with a man bun, and there's one with, I don't remember the other one, but we were looking at them, and I was like, I don't know if I like any of these dudes. but Ken doll ended up at our house. He hasn't come out of the package yet, but this is what we decided. We decided if Barbie is going to live with this guy, there's going to have to be a marriage, okay? Because our Barbie ain't acting like that. Not in this house, Barbie's not acting like that. And so today, as we get started, I want to marry two words right off the bat. And so in our heads, they're sealed together. Disciplined and self-control. I now pronounce you husband and wife, okay? Disciplined and self-control. They're connected on every level. We cannot take them apart, okay? Especially for the sake of what we're talking about this morning. We'll see that the same word in Greek is where both of these words arrived from. So self-centered and disciplined, same words. Here we go. Disciplined is the word that closes out his list of qualifications. Now, it's not like they didn't still talk. It's not like in his letters, Paul wasn't still addressing what leadership looks like. But the lists were pretty specific of the words that were notched out of this is what a leader looks like. Disciplined is at the end, I believe, in everything that I can see as a reflection back. There's some things on that list that each one of us are going to struggle with. There's some things on that list that I'm going to struggle with. I believe self-controlled or disciplined is at the end of that list as a reflection back saying, this is going to be tough. It's going to be tough. That list is going to be tough. And there's going to have to be discipline in your life. There's going to have to be discipline in your life. So it's both a reflection back of this is how we're going to accomplish this, and a reminder of a type of lifestyle that a Christian is supposed to possess. In his book, Kenton Getz, now this is not in Gene's book, but Kenton sums up this whole section with this short phrase right here. Walk the talk. That's how he summed up everything we're going to talk about today. Walk the talk. And I love it because it's just blunt. It's in your face. It's okay. It's time to man up. This is what I need to do. Sometimes maybe the questions that come to my mind is because I'm a why asker is why. And sometimes the other question that probably comes to my mind is how. How? Okay? So let's walk the talk. What does that look like? The Greek word, and I will probably butcher this, enkratia. I said it right the first time. Enkratia. The Greek word that's used here is also used by Paul in a couple of different locations that I find very fascinating. And I think that it supports very much and helps lay out more what this word means and how this will look in our life. But this word, enkratia, means this: to hold on. To hold on to hold on. Specifically speaking about pleasures and desires. To hold on. To hold on to. In Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, the same word is used, and there's a very popular piece of text right there that gets talked about a lot, right? What is in Galatians 5, 22 and 23? Anybody, you can just yell it out. Fruit of the Spirit. Now, why? I got to have Bailey help me out. I got to learn from her ways. Like, how did she get that out of those kids, you know? Being, bringing, and building. Like, if you're new and you haven't ever been here before, we practice that every week right here. yeah, so this section in Galatians, fruit of the Spirit. These are things that we talk about the Spirit, and Jamie talked about the Spirit last week, and we talk about the Spirit manifesting itself in us and what it looks like. And I'll tell you that there is divisions in Protestant religions about this topic. And we're not going to get into all that right now. But I will tell you that if you want to know what the Spirit looks like when it's dwelling in somebody and it's living out of them, we have a list right here. These are the qualities. This is the Spirit at work in a person's life. 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and the same exact Greek word. The same exact Greek word penned by the same person, Paul. I love it. He knew that discipline was part of the fruit of the Spirit. Discipline was part of the fruit of the Spirit. He also uses it in one of my very, very favorite pieces of Scripture. Charlie, yeah, I was making sure. I want to see your face, okay? Because I remember at one time in life, it wasn't just Charlie that was in good shape, okay? It was many, many years ago, but Charlie and I together were in incredible shape, right? Like, we were putting in miles, miles and miles and miles. I mean, miles together. And do you remember, I don't even know, like, I don't know where either one of us were at with our faith. I don't, but we were on a cross-country team together. I know, imagine that. Me and Charlie and JB, just running buddies, just putting down miles in incredible, incredible shape. We'd knock out 12 miles, you know, like, what do you want to go do now? We just killed 12 miles this afternoon. Let's go do something for fun after we eat like 25 pancakes, you know. But on our cross-country shirts was this verse, Charlie. 1 Corinthians 9:24. And in this piece of text, we have this word, this Greek word shows up again, written by Paul. Now, Paul is using, he's making up a little bit of fiction here, and he's speaking into a sports environment, okay? And he's giving this example that I love it. And it says, do you not know, this is 1 Corinthians 9:24, that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize. Remember that being on our shirts, Charlie? But only one gets the prize. Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Strict training, discipline, self-control. Same Greek wordage there. They do not get a crown that will not last, but we get a crown that will last forever. Some of their crowns were literally like made out of celery or whatever, you know, that would just like, it's gone that day, you know. It's just to like put on top of their head and boast in front of them for a moment. And you know what? I've been in like rooms where there's lots of trophies. You go into a school and you walk by the trophy cabinet and you're like, those are really cool. Does anybody even really remember that, you know? Like, I mean, yeah, you kind of hold on to it for a little bit and laugh, and then somebody's, I don't even know who that person even is. Those trophies don't really matter. And Paul's obviously talking, he's not talking about sports. Paul's obviously talking about eternal life and the fact that everybody it joins this race on some level and that we're all participating in it. Everyone competes in the games, goes into strict training, self-control, discipline. They do it to get a crown, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. I strike a blow to my body. I make this become self-disciplined. I make this become self-controlled. And I make this a slave so that after I have preached to others, after I have run the race, I myself am not disqualified for the prize. I myself am not disqualified from eternal life. Love that piece of text, Charlie. Love it. Last year, we went to Colorado, and we went skiing, snowboarding. I went snowboarding. We're planning that this year again, and if there's any high school students here, if you've got friends, high school students, there's a meeting tonight at 6 o'clock that is really, really important, okay? I'm just shamelessly putting that announcement in there. But when we went to Colorado last year, for one, that was the sickest I think I've ever been in my life, okay? And we got to Colorado, to the border, and I started feeling bad, and when we got to the town, to the McDonald's, I remember grabbing Q by the coat and was like, listen, I'm out, okay? You're officially in. Go get them, slugger. Just find a hotel bed and drag me to it. I don't care what happens. I don't care if you have fun. Just don't bother me because I'm dying. And I spent the next, I don't know how many hours, with cops reruns on in the background, having the craziest high fever, high altitude dreams I've ever had in my life. And the next day I decided to go out on the mountain, and I didn't work out at all. I still haven't worked out at all. I work out by saying I'm not drinking pop this month. And I'll tell you that it actually doesn't do very much muscle building or cardio. It really doesn't do any cardio, but it makes me, like, yeah, I quit drinking soda, you know, like, I'm working on something, you know. I heard a noise in Colorado last year on that second day when I went up the mountain. And I don't know if it's because I was sick, but it was... Now, I've never heard that noise come from my body before. And all I did was fall down. And that noise, every time I got up, that noise kept happening. And I remember one time, like, laughing and thinking, what was that? Like, I didn't even know I could make those kind of noises. I got about at least, like, 10 pounds that I really, really got to work on. Okay? Or I think that noise is going to be more aggressive this spring. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I don't know if you're a podcaster at all, but I find that I like to multitask stuff. TV is really hard for me. I just can't sit still. I got that go fast gene, you know. And so I'll listen to, and it usually like steers itself towards leadership stuff. And so I listen to both leadership stuff in the church world and leadership stuff in the secular world. Okay, listen to a lot of like, be a man up, you know, this is how you do it. Raise your family, be a leader, time management, work out, handle your money well, you know, those kind of things. But I also listen to the other part of it. It doesn't matter which side of it you're listening to. You're not going to listen very long until you start hearing words like self-controlled and discipline. Self-controlled and discipline. Plato and Aristotle both spoke of self-control, saying that a self-controlled man, now check this out, I thought this was really, really cool, that a self-controlled man is ready to abide, and a man living without self-control is ready to abandon. So, question this morning, am I ready to abide, or am I ready to abandon? Am I ready to abide, or am I ready to abandon? Circumstances will definitely happen. You will definitely be tested. Mount's Bible Dictionary defines a disciple as this, a learner or follower of Christ. In the dictionary, now I'm not going to say that every dictionary, the word right beside the other one has anything to do with the other word, but in this case it does. We have another word that's very, very similar to disciple, discipline. Discipline. Personal instruction, correction, teach, educate, punish. Any of you parents have littles in basketball right now? Like the little basketball, you know, like the no dribble basketball? I didn't know that was a thing. So I avoid basketball because although I can multitask, I can't like move my feet and do this. Like, this is pretty good. To do it like this, that's pretty good. But when you add a ball to the mix, yeah, I never got anybody's team. You know, it benefited them not to have me on their team. I asked a question when Cash was doing this, and I was like, wait a minute. They're not dribbling. Isn't that like a thing? Like, I'm pretty sure that's why I didn't do this one here. They're not doing it. Like, well, it's just to kind of, you know, get them kind of involved and learn. And they said a word. Learn the fundamentals. Learn the fundamentals. In my mind, I was thinking, I thought that might have been the, I don't know. But for the sake of what we're talking about here this morning, fundamentals, let that word stick in your head for a second. Fundamentals are the key principles that I cannot miss and continue to grow or learn more in this sport or this activity. That's what a fundamental is. Discipline and self-control are the fundamentals, okay, of a disciple of Christ. Self-control and discipline, fundamentals of being a Christian. Fundamentals. Sometimes I got to ask myself, where's your fundamentals? You ever hear a coach talking to his team? Guys, what were you thinking? You went out there, it's like you forgot the fundamentals of the game. Spiritually speaking, as followers of Christ, as a person who strives to follow Christ, the question I have to ask myself and remind myself is the fundamentals are important, okay? The fundamentals are important. Discipline and self-control are also the visible, outward, observable qualities of the Spirit in an individual's life. You follow that? They're the visible, outer visible appearance follower of Christ. It will be noticed. Paul says, we don't just teach ourselves to say no. I want to show you something that Paul wrote, because I just, that when I'm looking through that, I just start to get a little beat up when I realize, like, man, I struggle with some of that. I don't know if I'm the only one here that, as we're going through that, I'm like, man, I just struggle with some of that. There's some difficult stuff there. There's some difficult times. I've really failed at self-control. I've really failed at discipline in my life. And I love it that Paul just didn't leave him hanging right there. He continues to talk about this in Titus chapter 2, doing good for the sake of the gospel. If you read down through verse 12, so this is just following, you know, he says this is what a leader looks like. And then he just continues to trail it down in this short letter to verse 12. He says, actually, let's start at 11. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Okay? So the grace of God appeared and offered salvation to everybody. Okay? It just didn't pick favorites. It offered the same salvation, the same invitation, the same call to everybody. Verse 12, it teaches us to say no. It teaches us discipline to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, to live disciplined, upright and godly lives in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself up to ransom us from all wickedness and to purify from himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So I don't know about you, but I want to clear that up just a little bit. I'm so thankful that I don't have to just do it on my own, okay? Because sometimes my willpower, I likely am going to end up in Colorado and never do a setup. Okay, there's a good possibility right now, at the beginning of January, that's mid-March, that it's not going to get done. I don't know. We'll see what happens between now and then. But there's a good possibility it's not going to happen. But this says that we have a helper, okay? This says that God teaches us and helps us to say no. He teaches us self-control. And that some of that is, some of that we hang on him. Some of that we ask him to help us with. There's a huge victory at the Brown House this week, okay? Huge victory. I was hanging up a coat rack in the kids' room. Thought this would be really cool. We got one over there. The kids keep fighting whose coat rack is whose. So, you know what? We'll hang this. We'll coat rack this whole room, okay? It's going to be nothing but coat racks. There's not going to be another article of clothing. I don't even care what's on those coat racks, but we will no longer throw our clothes on the floor. Everything's got a hook. And I'm over there hanging up this coat rack, and I feel it, like, I felt something weird when I got my drill. I felt it's going, and then it slips, and then it hits something else, and I was like, that's weird. What was that? And I kept drilling, and then I tried to open the closet door. Guess what this idiot did? He put a hole right through the middle of the closet door, okay? Because the closet door is one of those, you know, slide into the wall closet doors. Guess what? I told Jen, I was like, hey, I didn't say anything. I just thought, that's too bad. And I walked outside and I got a hammer and I just tried to, you know, smash the hole back together right in the middle of this door. And you know what I literally thought? You only didn't throw a temper tantrum about that because you got Jesus in your life. Because you know that moment when it just like, you idiot. There's no telling what that's going to cost you. It's like the time I backed my truck into the trailer, you know, put a big crease in the side of my bed, and I was like, going to be noticing that for a while. Title of sermon today is resolutions and wild horses. Resolutions and wild horses. And just let that set for a second. It is the beginning of a new year. It doesn't in particularly, you know, I'm not one of those people that get really weird about New Year stuff. Jen and I were talking, we're like, the New Year should just happen in August, okay? Because this is like more of the same. Like, it's like the fall and this blend together and school and whatnot. Everything's just happening. But it's like the summertime, and then we're drawing a line. This school year is going to be different, you know? But so I don't know how that works with you, but I know this is a very, very popular time of year to start or stop stuff for a lot of people. And I don't know what kind of thoughts have been going on in your head about this is what we need to start, this is what we need to stop, this is what's going to be different this year. But as you do that, I want you to think about these things, because it would be my goal for us as a church, for us as a community, for you as an individual, and for myself this year, 2018, to look back and say, this year we intentionally grew a lot closer to God. This year my faith increased. This year I more adequately know the Word. I can more adequately defend the Word, and I can more boldly stand up for what it is I believe in. Let me ask you these two questions in regards to self-control. Am I self-controlled in my behavior? Am I self-controlled in my behavior? So ask yourself that. Am I self-controlled in my behavior? Specifically like moods and attitudes and actions and, you know, the outward stuff. The stuff that's noticeable, because that's what we're talking about. The second question is a little different. Am I, are you, are we self-controlled in our pursuit of God? See, that list looks a lot different, because that list gets overlooked, especially in this category, and it makes it all about like, well, you know what, I don't blow my temper anymore. I got things pretty, you know, like, I'm on a pretty good page. But I binge watch Netflix and screw around on my phone every night, and I've picked up all this baggage and picked up all these piddly projects in life. And honestly, that nonsense is just as much in the way of my pursuit of God as my hot-headed temper and the way that I treated people. And if there's an area that I need to work on, and I need to learn discipline and self-control if I'm going to grow in my relationship with God, it comes back to habits. It comes back to habits. Like, what are your habits? What do they look like? What have they formed into be? Is there self-control? Right, we got a habit, okay? Or we want to start a new habit. It's going to take us discipline and self-control to start it. Like, if this guy's going to go and jog and get in shape. Charlie, I do it, and I'm like, man, I'm so far. Like, I'm like, man, I'm giving up. Like, that was a good quarter mile. That's over, you know. I'm done. Those days are over. I'm old. Wait till I get to Colorado this year, because... Let's look at the first one. That first question, is your behavior godly? Is your behavior godly? Are the behaviors or habits that are going on in my life, is it possible that they are indicating that I have missed the fundamentals of being a Christian? When it comes to my behavior, is it possibly that I've missed the fundamentals of what it means to be a Christian? Back to that in just a little bit. Are you self-controlled in your pursuit of God? Now, referring to the Netflix and the piddly things and the phones and the things that really just suck up all our times, that, you know, that everything, it's so convenient that all these, you know, it's just so convenient to pull and waste time and start these little habits that creep in. Are you wasting more time with that than you are pursuing God? I'm not saying any of that stuff is bad. It It's not like it's bad. I mean, of course, I mean, it depends on what you're watching or what it is that you're doing. That's kind of a different deal. Maybe they're not bad, but they're just in the way. Hebrews 12, 1. I love this piece of text because I think it talks about that category of things. And I think it gives us some clear, like, not just somebody just standing up and just preaching about it, but Scripture speaks about those things and helps give us a little motivation there. Hebrews 12, 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Everything that hinders. So what is that list? Like, what is that stuff for you? What is it that's hindering right now? What is it that's hindering? Well, let's read on. And the sin that easily entangles. So what is it that's hindering you right now? What is it, what sin is it that has just crept in like a vine? You ever seen a vine grow? We had a bunch of vines growing by my house this year, and we kind of kept them alive and let them grow up around some stuff in our garden. And man, we had some like tiki poles, and it's like I didn't even notice that those vines were growing, and the next day I couldn't see those tiki poles anymore. They crept in so sneakily. It's like those things were only growing after midnight when I was in bed. And they broke three of the four tiki torches off at the ground. What is that sin in your life that so easily entangles and chokes out? And let us run with perseverance. Right back. And that's why I think Paul wrote Hebrews. Whatever you think, I feel like Paul wrote it. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. No matter where you're at in this struggle of self-control, in this struggle of discipline, I hope that you could look at that piece of text and you could find the encouragement in it. If self-control and discipline are areas of your life that are difficult, here's what you need to know, okay? This morning, we're going to do something a little different, and I'm going to invite the band to come back up. And as we close the service today, this is what I'm going to... this is what we want to leave you with. This is what we want to encourage you with. It is, in fact, a new year. And there will be no better day than today. There would be no better day, right while we're talking about this, to really, really think about what hinders, about what entangles, and about what needs to be changed, about the disciplines that need to take place. But before we can get there, I want to tell you something about wild horses. Now, I'm not a horse fan, okay? Because a Welsh pony ate my lunch when I was a kid, and I'm scared to death, okay? Scared to death. Horses are the meanest, worst animals that there are, okay? We can argue about it later. I am much more comfortable with horsepower than anything that bites and snorts and kicks and flicks its tail at me. I'm scared to death of it, okay? But this is what I know about wild horses. Wild ones that have never been touched by human hand. They're running wild with no direction other than their own instincts and one another. They're just as tameable as the colt that is born in your pasture. No matter how wild they are. And check it out. The same exact techniques train them. The same techniques. An animal that's never even been exposed to a person, never been touched by a person. It's wild. It's got its own instincts that are working in it to survive, to maintain. It's created habits. It's created a way of life that it knows how to survive. And it's just as tameable as a baby colt that's born in your pasture, that's running with tamed, broken horses. Horse trainer told me, said, it doesn't really matter which one you're working with. It doesn't make any difference. But especially with the wild ones, you need to know this. They don't respond well to fits of rage. They don't respond well to beatings. And you're going to just make your work more difficult for you. You have to be gentle. They have to understand that they can trust you. They have to understand that you care. And you have to carefully start working them the same exact way that you would work a colt. Some horses are stubborn. Some have habits a lot like ours that are very difficult. This is the great news for you and I, is we were never intended, nor did Jesus ever ask us to white knuckle any of this. And that's the best news. No matter where you're at with it, no matter if you're sitting there and you're like, yeah, I don't want to be judged about this. I don't want to be talked to about this. I know that there's these things that are not, I get it. Maybe the reason that you feel that way is really simply explained. Maybe the fundamental that you've really missed is not the discipline. Maybe the fundamental that you've really missed was giving it to God. Was giving the whole thing to God. Jesus, in Matthew, this is what he taught. Matthew 7:7, ask, seek, knock, and the door will be opened. If there's something difficult going on, doing it yourself is not the godly way of doing it. White knuckling it is not the godly way of doing it, and it might very well just be the end of you. When God's given us such easy instruction, ask, seek, knock. It'll be given to you. You have a helper. You have his, if you're a baptized believer, you have his Spirit. That's part of that. That's the promise that Jesus promised. As you made that confession of faith, as you died to yourself and into that watery tomb, and that confession was made, he said, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But just like in the Old Testament, when the Israelites, they were waiting on God. They're waiting on God, and there had been absence. And what needed to happen was Solomon built the temple, and Solomon started to pursue God. And guess who showed up? God. Because he asked, and he sought, and he knocked, and he invited, and he pleaded. And he put his efforts into building and preparing. The call to leadership is a call to self-control and reliance on the Holy Spirit to help us accomplish it. This morning, if there's any part of this or none of this that God has encouraged you with, I would hope that as we close out this series on what a qualified leader would look like, that it would be more than just some leadership stuff thrown out there. That we would understand that what we've been looking at is God's inspired word for his church. Is it's God's truth for us as individuals to cope and deal work through the life that we're living here on this earth together. there's going to be challenges in our life, and it's going to challenge our self-control. And you're going to crumple, and so am I. And God's call is still to be self-controlled, and the only way that that's maintained is through Him at work inside of us. That's the only way it's maintained. And if you don't have that at work in you, because you've never made that confession of faith, and you've never made a decision to be baptized, may this time and this year be the beginning of that for you. Whatever may be on your heart, a couple of the elders and I are just going to be right up here, and I'm going to pray, and we're going to start to sing the song. And if you want to leave, just leave. You're dismissed. If you want to just stay and sing, you stay and sing. If you just want to sit and pray, you sit and pray. And if you want to sit and talk to somebody about it, we'll be right here. And we would like nothing more to talk to you about it. But this is not the only time that we offer an invitation like this. Our numbers are public because we desperately care about this and to have these conversations. We're all about drawing lines and new beginnings. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for the hope that we have through your Son, Jesus, God. God, I pray that if anybody is finding themselves struggling, God, today, that you give them strength, God. God, that you help them see that there's a helper that's been promised to them, God, that they don't have to live it and walk it and do it alone, God. And he's gentle and he's compassionate and he's caring and he's loving, God. God, I pray that if anybody here doesn't know you, God, that this message and your gospel would begin to work on their heart, and that now would be a time for them to move and make that decision, God. God, I pray for our year. I pray that this year would be different for Deering, God, that this year would be different for Southeast Kansas, that this year would be different for those of us that are here, God, that we would be intentional about the kingdom, God, that we would live eternally focused lives, striving to live godly lives in front of one another and in front of you, God. God, examine our hearts. We pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name.